He writes about requests, prayers, and intercessions. These three words all mean roughly the same thing, which is asking God for things. Asking God for things to happen. And with that, we're to give thanks. So Paul is urging us to ask God to do things and to thank him for good things that he's already done. So with prayer, asking and thanking go together. Asking looks forward, thanking looks backwards, back to what God has already done and said. So we look back and pray, thank you that Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all men. And we look forward and say, please call my cousin Robert to a saving faith and give him a knowledge of the truth. Prayer with thanksgiving is to be central to the life of any church. So this teaching highlights the importance in our own church family of the monthly prayer focus. Do make it a priority in the new year to gather at that to pray together. It shows the importance of praying together in growth groups, in the All Saints Club, prayer before the Sunday service and during the service, and also prayer at home, in your families, with your children, with your husband or wife, and on your own. So All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving. Secondly, All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving for everyone. Paul is making a specific point here about the broad nature of the gospel and the concerns of the church. We're to pray for everyone, verse 1. Verse 4, God wants all men to be saved. Verse 6, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all men. And then in verse 7, Paul tells us that he was appointed as a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. That word Gentiles means the nations, i.e. any nation in the world that isn't Jewish. Gentiles is all the other nations of the world apart from the Jewish nation. And this shows us that the gospel is for all of humanity. Paul's making the point that following Christ isn't an exclusive private club. It's not a private religion where there's some secret knowledge in the middle of it that we keep away from everyone else and you're only allowed to know about once you've been initiated. No, we're to pray for everyone. We have a national focus and a worldwide concern because God is the creator of the whole world. He's not just the God of one country or nation. Jesus is the savior of people from all over the world. Now, in chapter 1, we saw that Paul's concern was false teachers who wanted to be teaching about the Old Testament law, but they got it the wrong way round, and their teaching had become ungodly. Because Paul moves from writing about the false teachers and goes into urging us to pray for everyone, it's probable that the false teaching contained an ungodly exclusivity. We don't exactly know the details. Paul doesn't reveal them, but it seems that there was a problem about it being over-exclusive. And we need a right balance in our understanding of God's purposes in the world. God is the Lord of the whole world. But not everybody is automatically included in his kingdom. We need a balance between those two truths. There's a distinction between the church of Jesus Christ and the rest of the world. When it comes to salvation, Christians, Muslims, atheists, Zoroastrians are not all the same in God's eyes. There's a distinction. But on the other hand, the Christian gospel isn't some private secret message for the inner circle. God wants all to be saved. Jesus was a ransom for all people. We've got to hold those two things in tension. So in our praying, we have a wide concern, a national concern, and a global concern. And this is especially relevant teaching for us at this time of a general election, and such a significant election with Brexit looming. So All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving for everyone. We want prayer for everyone to be part of our corporate church life, Sundays, growth groups, prayer focus. But this is also teaching for you in your home life. Your home is part of the church. In my family, we have a prayer box which helps us to pray for a wide range of people, family, friends, godparents, different places in the world. And we aim to have a prayer time, a prayer and Bible time, Monday to Friday, basically during term time. Doesn't mean we stop praying in the holidays, but it's not quite so focused. After we've looked at a Bible passage together and prayed something from the Bible passage, we then open up the box and take out a card, which will have someone's name on it. This is Matthew and Amy, who are friends of ours in North Holland. Each of us takes a card, and then we pray round. And this really has helped us. It's stretched our praying, because if you just say, right, who are we going to pray for? You tend to just go to those immediate people and immediate concerns. That obviously is good to do. But this has given a breadth to our praying, and I would really encourage you with this helpful tool. It's helped our children to learn to pray, and we've been doing this for a number of years now, and as they're little, we have an object that we pass around so that we know when it's our turn to pray, and in this case, it is the prayer carrot. But you can, of course, use something different. I can't claim that it enables us to pray for everyone, but it has widened our concerns in prayer. So that's just a practical idea for you. All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving for everyone. But moving on, Paul's instruction gets more specific. He instructs us to pray with thanksgiving for kings and all those in authority. So my third point is All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving for rulers and people in positions of influence. Chapter 2, verse 1 again. I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. Now, it's taken me a while to get clear on the scope of what's covered by this phrase, kings and all those in authority. The ESV translates it, kings and all who are in high positions. Now, it's clearly an instruction for the local household of God to pray for kings and queens and emperors, presidents, those who are in the government over us. And it's a very important instruction to hear 4 days before a general election. But I used to think that that was the extent of it, but I now see that it goes a bit more broadly than that. I think the best way of understanding it is as an instruction to pray for those who are in a position to change the circumstances of society, and particularly to change circumstances for the good or ill of the church and its progress. So clearly, we should pray for Queen Elizabeth and the UK government. But it also means that you should pray for your boss at work, who can have significant influence on Christian freedoms in the workplace. Thinking more widely, Phil, and to kind of push the envelope, I think it means we can pray for the CEOs of companies who can exert enormous influence, particularly in the global context that we're now in economically. So we could pray for the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai. Google beginning to exert enormous influence. We can pray for the Charity Commission. Their policy will affect church life. It means praying for the heads of schools. And it means for us in the Church of England praying for bishops and archdeacons. Bishop Stephen, Bishop Roger, Bishop Rod, Archdeacon Ruth. We can pray for diocesan synods and boards. And during the vacancy for the rector, we can be praying for our patron, Derek Scales, who has a significant position of influence on the future of our church life here. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, whether you perhaps find it uncomfortable. And I think I used to think that we should pray for Christian leaders and rulers. I felt a bit ambivalent about praying for people who were, you know, clearly atheists or were against the gospel. And because so much of the Church of England establishment is in denial of things that we consider to be plain teachings from Scripture, it can be easy to just hunker down and to ignore the church hierarchy. But what we see here is that we are to pray for people in prominent positions of influence, those who can change the circumstances of the church. And we're to pray for them whether we agree with them or not, whether we think they're doing the right thing or not in their role. So it may be that Paul's teaching is a corrective for us in our praying. And those who lead Sunday prayers, do take this teaching to heart. Now, none of us will agree with all the political decisions that are made in the UK. But this doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for our government with thanksgiving. And here's a key reason why I think this is the case. It's generally understood that this letter was written in 62 to 63 AD, about 30 years after Jesus' death. And at this time, the ruling Roman emperor was a man called Nero. For those of you who don't know, Nero has gone down in history as an archetypal bad leader. I mean, really, there aren't many others who have such a bad name as Nero. But even under Nero's rule, Paul urged the church to pray with thanksgiving for kings and all those in authority. I think that's quite challenging, isn't it? Maybe quite surprising. Now, what we have in the UK for which we can give thanks to God is a stable form of government. And it seems to me that this is part of what we're to pray for. A stable government enables the church to live a godly life, as we see in verse 2. And that enables the gospel to go out. That seems to be the logic. So in our country, we have much Christian privilege, don't we? Because of the history of our nation. And we have a stable culture. Brexit makes us feel that it's becoming unstable, and changes in culture make us feel that it's becoming unstable. But we live in a context where children can go to school and learn skills for life. You can start a new business. There's always food in the shops. We can even elect our government. You couldn't elect Nero back then. And we have a free and robust election process. We know that there's corruption in other countries around the world in the election process. Even though the UK is a small country in terms of landmass, it's the 9th largest exporter of goods in the world and the 5th largest importer of goods globally. We have a sophisticated infrastructure of road and rail transport. I know we all think it's full of potholes, and when you're in a crowded carriage and the train hasn't come, we think it's all terrible. But in the grand scheme of things, it's amazing. When you travel on a bus in northern India and people are traveling on the roof, you realize what an amazing situation we have here. Stability means that we have a police force that will defend you when someone steals from you or attacks you. And there's a fair legal system. We have a system which ensures that the money we pay in taxes is spent for the good of citizens. When you're unwell, you can go to the doctor. And I'm particularly thankful that the rubbish gets taken away every week. Praise the Lord. Now, I know that there are problems in the legal system and whether it's always fair and whether the police always do the right thing, of course. But in the grand scheme of things, what we have is really amazing and something to praise God for. We can give thanks for all these different things. But I do think we take this stability for granted, don't we? We just think it's normal and we see a decline, so we think we're in a terrible situation. And it is helpful to think of Nero when we feel like that. When we compare the stability of our country with other countries around the world, we realize how much we have to give thanks for. Take, for instance, the country Somalia. So I can use my laser pointer. Here we are up there. Here's Somalia on the east coast of Africa. In 1991, civil war broke out in Somalia, fighting to see who would have control of the government. Somalia is estimated to have a population of 11 million, but 1 million Somalis are registered as refugees in the neighboring countries. A further million Somalis had to leave the place where they lived and move elsewhere in the country. In 2012, the government was re-established, which is now led by the president, Mohamed Abdullahi. And what's everyday life like? Well, this is just one view off the web. But when it comes to medicines, there's no licensing of pharmacies. So you can't be sure that you're actually going to get the right medication. With transport, the roads are unpaved, there are no traffic lights, lots of potholes. Schools, although the standard of school lessons is not good, almost everybody passes the national exams because they pay bribes. So the whole thing sort of becomes meaningless. So when we consider Somalia, we see how rich we are. You probably don't feel like you're rich. Most people don't, but we are very rich in the UK. We can see that there's so much to give thanks for the British nation. In the Bible, governments have God-given origins and purposes. The blessing of good, stable government is a gift from God for everyone, Christian or not. So we should pray with thanksgiving for rulers and people in prominent positions, and especially at this moment on the cusp of a general election, praying that God's will be done in the electing of a new government. Fourthly and finally, sorry, that should be number four. Fourth and final point. Pray with thanksgiving for God's big purpose in the UK. Verse 4 shows us that God has a plan and purpose for the world. He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The truth is that there's only one person who can put God and people back into a right relationship. That person is Jesus Christ. In verse 4, Paul calls him a mediator. The work of a mediator is to bring people who have a broken relationship back together. Verse 4 tells us there's only one mediator who can do that, the man Jesus Christ. So when Paul says in chapter 3 that the church is the foundation of the truth, this truth about there being only one mediator is absolutely core. And All Saints Church stands here in Fordham and Atash Green as a witness to this fundamental truth for our nation. In the purposes of God, he's only provided one mediator, his son Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave his life as a ransom. Jesus died as a ransom to buy us back from our sins and to save us from God's true judgment. This truth is held within the local church. It's held within local churches up and down the country. Dying on the cross was Jesus' ransoming work. Dying on the cross was Jesus' mediating work. He mediated between God the Father and humanity by ransoming himself. And God's big plan is that people all over the world will be saved for eternal life through the ransom of Jesus Christ on the cross. At the time of a general election, let's remember that this is God's big plan and purpose, bringing people back into right relationship with him and forming an eternal kingdom made up of people from all over the UK and all over the world. This is God's political plan. And we are members, and we as members of his church are part of it. So God's plan is bigger than Brexit, much bigger than Brexit. It's going to happen whether we're inside or outside of the European Union. This was God's plan from before the time when he made the world. This is God's plan, whichever political party is elected next week. So, All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving for God's big purpose in the UK. And let me summarize as I finish. All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving. Pray for everyone, especially for rulers and for people in positions of influence. Pray that at this election time, that we may live peaceful, quiet, godly, and holy lives, so that all kinds of people may be saved, and so that people of all nationalities may come to the knowledge of the truth. All Saints Church, pray with thanksgiving for God's big purpose in the United Kingdom. And let's bow our heads and we'll pray now. Heavenly Father, we want to praise and celebrate the stable government that we have in our nation that we've enjoyed for so long. We praise and celebrate the Christian heritage, much of which still remains in the culture and constitution of our nation. But we do come to you as we see this disappearing in significant ways, and we pray for mercy. Your mercy on our nation, Lord. We do seek you for a revival of interest in you and your purposes, a turning of hearts to you, of repentance in our nation and coming back to your ways. And we pray for this election. We seek your blessing and your will to be done. And we pray, Father, that whatever the outcome, you will enable us to live lives that honor you, that the church may be able to persevere in this country for your glory and for your will and purpose to be done. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.